The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the Crack House Chronicles, your favorite true crime podcast. I am Donnie, and with me is a man that wants to know the answer to the age-old question of why there's so many songs about heartaches, but none about backaches. It's Dale.
I don't know. I could use one today.
Yeah. My back hurts today.
A little rough, man. Working in the salt mine today. Got a little rough, didn't it?
I tell you, maybe we can write a song about backaches.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. My dog got run over and I have a backache.
Here goes
from burying him.
Here goes another backache.
Hey, Bonnie Tyler could have done one.
Yeah, just another ache in her back.
Yeah.
had a rough night in the sack, got another ache in her back.
Yeah.
I don't know about that one.
If somebody could write a song about that, they could make $1 million.
Yeah, maybe toothaches.
Yeah.
Backaches.
What's going on, dude?
Oh, same old, brother.
Same old. Yep. Ready to do an episode of this podcast
Enjoying the cool weather, yes.
Man, yeah. I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's nice.
Free air conditioning. Just go outside.
Yeah, feels nice.
The Crack House Chronicles has free air conditioning.
After this heat wave of a summer we've had.
Golly, I hate to eat, man.
I know you whine all the time.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate to eat mosquitoes and bugs and gnats. And
I love it.
Yeah. You got any good shout-outs? Anything you want to talk about, dude?
Man, I do. We got a couple five-star. We need some cool effects, man. Can we get like an iCarly thing, you know, with a little effect gimmick?
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah. So we got a couple of five-star reviews this week. We really appreciate those. And first one we got is from Chino Fresh. It says, super interesting. Cleveland County born and raised. Love hearing all about this stuff and keep up the good work.
Wow.
And really, that's Colin Blanton, which we won't give him a shout-out because I know who it is, but I appreciate the five-star, brother.
Okay.
That's my boy. All right, and we have another one that came in today, I think, or yesterday.
It came in today.
Oh, sweet. Said, love this show. I'm so addicted. I listen daily on my commute to work. I don't know what I'm going to do when I finally listen to them all and have to wait for the next show to drop. I also like being able to say I knew Dale way back then.
Whoa.
Ain't that cool?
That's very cool.
MLB 51268.
Well, thank you, MLB.
MLB. We appreciate you.
We do. If anybody else wants to go to Apple Podcast and leave a rate and review, do it. Write something in the box, click the 5-star, and we will give you a shout out.
That's right. We sure will. We enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a good time.
If anybody wants to order anything off the website, do that too. Get you a t-shirt.
Coffee mug.
Yeah.
Sticker.
Get you something.
Onesie. You got anything else?
I think that's about it, bud.
We'd like to say we really appreciate Miss Sue coming on last week.
Yeah.
Man, that was a
mother really of Kimberly cool. Rammer.
That's right. Miss Sue in the finger.
Yes. Keep her in your thoughts and prayers, and hopefully they can find some answers. It's been 25 years, but she's still not giving up, man.
That's right.
She's fighting the good fight, trying to find out what happened to her daughter, man.
And we trying to. We appreciate everybody sharing it and just trying to get the word out there. Maybe we can do something to help her out. All the folks down in Alabama, she's doing a great job getting the word out. And, man, we just need to bring that girl home.
Yep, just doing our part to keep the story alive. Keep it going, bud.
That's right.
Yep. All right, if anything else, dude, we are going to get going in our episode, man.
Let's do it, man. We babbled enough.
We have babbled enough. People will be saying something about it.
We'll be getting dirty emails again.
Yeah, y'all talk too much.
Damn, 2 minutes is over, yep. Boys.
But this week, we've got a pretty interesting case.
We do.
It is, we're talking about Aaron Corwin.
Aaron Corwin.
Yep. Just a little bit of background on Aaron Corwin. She was born on July 15th, 1994. In Oak Ridge, Tennessee, USA.
Is that where them boys are from?
Hmm?
Is that where them boys are from?
Oak Ridge boys, yeah.
I'm there.
But this is in Anderson County in Tennessee.
Gotcha.
Now, when she was just 3 weeks old, Dale, she was put into foster care.
Right.
And there was a couple named Bill and Lori Heveland.
Okay.
They took her into foster care, and they just fell in love with her.
Yes, they did.
Yep. And they actually adopted her when she was 3.5 years old.
Yeah, she said as soon as she saw her, she knew she was going to have to keep her.
Yep. Just raising her as their own, man.
That's right.
But they had fostered other kids and adopted other kids, and they had a couple of their own natural kids, too.
That's right. It takes special people to do that.
It really does. But now, growing up, Aaron's mom said that her daughter was shy, reserved, and apart from when she was around animals, she was sort of outgoing when it comes to animals.
Well, they call her an animal whisperer.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they call her that, but that's what she was.
Yep.
I mean, anybody can train a cat to do tricks.
She did it.
Yeah. Crazy.
To sit and
roll over and shake her head, or what was it?
Yeah, it's a couple tricks, yeah.
Two or three tricks. Anyway, if you can get a cat to do anything, you're doing good.
Yeah, because
a cat stare at you like you're an idiot.
Yeah, she didn't. Cats don't want to be petted anyway.
I mean, I love cats, but just trust me, you're there for them.
Yeah. You're their pet.
Yeah.
But Aaron, she was quite an equestrian, man. She loved the horses.
Mm.
Yeah. And she kept a beloved pony called Riley at stables near her childhood home there in Oak Ridge. Now, when she was about 10 years old, she had met a boy named John that she had befriended. And they weren't especially close at first.
Right.
But then about 5 years later, they started talking and chatting over Facebook.
Right.
And when Aaron turned 16, they started dating.
Well.
Yep. And he had actually went to her parents and asked them if he could take her out.
Well, that's pretty good of him.
Yeah. And they seemed
honorable anyway.
And they seemed to like John pretty good. Very polite young man.
Right.
Yeah.
He's kind of reserved.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Kind of like her in a way.
Back, yeah. He didn't really care about the horses, but he liked watching them do the horses.
Yeah.
I think he met, well, actually, in person there at the farm.
Okay.
And then they got into more talking over Facebook when he sent her a request, and then they got into the DMs and got to talking a good bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way it is nowadays.
The way it works.
Mm-hmm.
The way of the world.
Yeah, because kids today, I can't imagine them calling up a parent and say, hey, is your daughter there? Can I speak to her?
Yeah, because I used to hate that.
Oh, yeah.
Because they never answered the phone. It was like, hello.
Yeah. Yeah, these kids wouldn't know what that was like.
No. Mm-mm. Terror.
Yeah. A wave of terror break over you.
Yeah.
You get a hot feeling.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Her daddy's on the phone. Her daddy's on the phone. All right, but John, he had always planned to join the Marines, Dale.
Okay.
And after he graduated high school, he went into the Marine Corps. And they kept a long-distance relationship there for a while, him and Aaron. But Aaron never really moped about them being apart. She'd write letters to him, and they'd write back and forth and really kept in touch. That's when he was in basic training.
Right.
Yep. And whenever he was back from training, you know, he'd pop in at the house for dinner, play board games, and just really become part of the family. Now, in July of 2012, John proposed to Aaron.
Right.
And this was a little bit kind of cute in a way. Her favorite soft drink was Sprite.
Yes.
And he had put an engagement ring on her straw.
Right. And then gave her the drink.
Yeah. And she just fell for him right there.
Right. Well, they was very, very young.
Yes, they were young, no doubt about it. I think he was 19 at the time, and she was just 18 then when they got engaged.
Young folks.
Very. I mean, they were kids.
Yes. And then the young couple, they got married in November of 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And then
that was in a Las Vegas ceremony. They just went to Vegas.
Yeah, they eloped.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
pretty much.
To a little chapel.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And then they moved out to John's Marine Base in 29 Palms, California, in September of 2013,
mm-hmm.
Almost a year later.
That's where he had posted to military base.
Right, because I think after they got married, he actually got sent, deployed to Japan for a while, yeah. And then when he came back, that's when they actually got to go be together as a married couple.
And Aaron was living at home with the parents while he was in Japan.
Correct.
Yes.
Yes.
But now, Aaron's mom, knowing how shy she was, she worried about Aaron making friends.
Mm-hmm.
But she was pretty thrilled to hear that they had quickly formed a relationship and friendship with some neighbors they had there in 29 Palms.
Well, she was also relieved to know that they were going to be living on base. And then that way, she would be basically with some other Marine wives.
And looked after.
Yeah, and so that way they got plenty of people around, so she could probably meet some friends, you know, and be like a little close-knit deal mm-hmm. there, right?
But they struck up a friendship with a group of neighbors, including Christopher Lee and his wife, Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a five-year-old daughter named Liberty.
I think that's a cool name, man.
That is a very cool name.
Right.
And so they would just hang out, watch TV, grill out, and just have a good time.
Yeah. They also were friends with Connor and Aisling. Is that how you say it?
Aisling.
Aisling, you say it.
Malachi.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had...
They lived downstairs from the Corwins.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they had an infant son.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Brian.
Yep.
Yep.
Now, while all the guys there in the military base, they were on duty, hadn't go to work, all the women just sort of hung out and mm-hmm. hang out at each other's apartment. And they'd, I guess, go shopping and just do the women thing.
Get together, snacks, some gossip, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they're probably pretty young, most of them.
Yeah, except for Christopher Lee and his wife, Nicole. They were a little bit older.
Yeah. Actually, I think Chris had already done like two tours.
In Afghanistan.
I think he was 24, I think, at this time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming his wife was a similar age. So they're just a little bit older, but not a whole lot.
Yeah, he'd been to Afghanistan twice.
Right.
So, yeah, he was a little bit more mature and older than the other ones.
Correct.
Yeah.
Now, Chris, even though he'd been on a couple of tours, he was kind of reckless. You know, for once, he'd been reprimanded by a commanding officer for using the rifles and rocket launchers like they were toys at the time, you know. So he kind of got in trouble for stuff like that. So He's a little reckless in stuff he does, even though he's playing with weapons.
He liked to mess with some heavy-duty stuff.
Yeah, guns and explosives and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the Corwins, you know, they weren't really ready for the challenges that came with all being newlyweds as far as, you know, fighting over money and this kind of thing. Because, you know, he's not making much money, and even though they're living on the base, and the Marine Corps would pay for their apartment and their power and that kind of thing, he was the only one working, you know, and she's sitting home bored. So.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they don't have a lot of money. So they were, you know, right off the bat, getting on each other about overspending and this kind of stuff.
And I think Aaron had maxed out one of the credit cards too.
Yeah, and he had to take a card away from her, and she was all pissed off about
that. I bet so.
Yeah, and I think he had, you know, went in and probably bought a couple of TVs and video games, this kind of stuff. You know, just because they're kids, man. They don't know no different.
Mm-mm.
You know, actually, you know, they just got together. I mean, before they were just in love and crazy about each other, and then they're married just now, and then he leaves to go to Japan and come back, and now they're together and they really don't know what they're doing
and living on the other side of the country,
right,
away from their parents,
from everybody.
So they're having to really grow up fast and learn a hard lesson
right
real quick. But now the Corwins deal, they weren't prepared for the challenges that came as newlyweds. You know, we talked about the money and the fighting and accusations of overspending, but Aaron got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she was quite happy with this.
I'm sure.
Yeah, announcing it with a blue and pink post on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, got to put her on the Facebook.
Yep. But it wasn't long after that. It was pretty devastating that she had a miscarriage.
Yeah, just a few weeks later.
Yeah, that put her into a depression.
Oh, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a roller coaster. You know, over the moon 1 minute and low as you can go the next.
Yeah, it took a toll on.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron, she sort of withdrew socially. And emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And even grew distant from her husband, John.
Yeah, and he's kind of a low-key guy anyway, like we said. You know, he didn't really show much emotion and stuff. And he really didn't know how to comfort her. And she felt like maybe he just didn't care or whatever. But I think it's more of a, he just didn't really know what to do. So he did nothing.
Yeah.
And that's definitely not what to do.
He just watched TV and played video games.
Right.
That's what he did and went to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But now they're neighbors. Chris and Nicole, you know, they had the five-year-old Liberty.
Right.
Chris, he had been sort of observing Aaron when they hung out.
Well, you know, he, sorry to cut you out there, but you know, he was also, had been depressed and been through a lot of stuff after when he coming back from his two tours.
Yeah.
So, like you said, you know, he'd kind of seen her going through some stuff and he thought maybe he could help her out.
Yeah.
Because he'd kind of been there.
Yeah, he was going through some stuff too, and she was, so.
So they kind of started bonding over this mutual sorrow, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And then he started to spend a little bit more time when his wife wasn't around with Aaron.
So it was one Sunday night in February of 2014. This is when the Lees joined the Corwins in their apartment.
Right.
And John and Nicole, they were watching an episode of The Walking Dead.
That was their Sunday night thing.
Yeah.
They all got together and watched The Walking Dead.
But Aaron didn't care too much for it. She didn't like all that violence.
Yeah, she didn't like that show.
But instead of joining his wife, Nicole. Chris, he played some video games with Aaron.
Well, he said that, you know, when they got ready to watch it, that he had missed like the two episodes before this, so he didn't want to watch this episode, the new one, and then be out of sync.
Yeah, and so, I get that.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So he went and played some video games with Aaron in John's bedroom.
Right.
And Chris and Aaron were alone, Dale.
Mm-hmm.
And they were sitting on the floor beside each other playing some video games. And one of them paused the game.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron looked over toward Chris.
So you know it was him.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, what's up?
Yep. And they started kissing.
Yeah. He just planted one on her.
Yep. And it only lasted for a few seconds, but that one kiss changed everything.
Yep.
And that's when they began an affair.
Yeah. Right there.
Right there. And John in there watching The Walking Dead.
Yeah, about 10 feet from everybody else.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Now, this affair, it became intense pretty quick, man.
Yeah.
And soon they were discussing leaving their spouses and talking about how great of a stepmom Aaron would be for Liberty.
Right. You know, because they had Aaron babysit for them a good bit, and mm-hmm. she really liked that.
Yeah.
She wanted a family, you know, and that's probably the reason that she was so devastated when she had the miscarriage.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Remember, Liberty was five, so... Yeah, they bonded pretty quickly.
Yeah, and meanwhile, you know, Nicole was not the best housekeeper, as they say.
They said their house was pretty...
It was always messy.
Yeah.
And she really wasn't keeping up with her kid. A lot of times you would see Liberty outside playing by herself, and especially if it was a football day, she would tell you that Mommy says football day and for me not to ask her for nothing today. And she'd just be out by herself. And just it was just kind of strange stuff.
Yeah.
That she did. So I don't know what was going on in there, but... It wasn't good.
Yep. But now, Nicole, she could see how distant Chris had become, man.
Mm-hmm. She started feeling it, yeah.
Yeah, and she was checking his phone.
Mm-hmm.
And she had saw some texts Chris had made to Aaron.
Right.
And some of them were saying, "You're so gorgeous, and I think I'm falling for you."
That ain't good.
No, that ain't good at all, man.
Yeah.
And Nicole confronted Chris about this.
Yeah, and just one of them real long tirades. I mean,
yeah.
It probably lasted for hours here.
And even informed John, this is Aaron's husband, of the affair.
Right, yeah, they all got together one night, and while everybody was there, she pretty much just blasted them right there in front of everybody.
Yeah, it sort of changed the mood real quick, didn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure. Now, I think before this, they had actually been busted by a neighbor who saw them kissing somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and she told them, you know, y'all got to quit this shit, you know. And said, you know, they were done blah, blah. They act like nothing was going on. And it was just, you know, it didn't mean to happen. Blah, blah. We'll quit now. She said, well, if you quit, then I won't say nothing because it's really none of my business. But if this is going to continue, it's got to be out and open.
Because in the military, people call it having an affair. That's kind of frowned upon. They actually can be reprimanded for that stuff.
Yeah, it's not good.
No, it ain't good at all.
Right. So anyway, while she was blasting them in front of everybody, and then Aaron turned to leave, and then Nicole stormed after her.
Mm-hmm.
She, like, shoved her finger up in her face and said, if you ever have anything else to do with my husband, I'll kill you myself.
Yeah.
It's like, woo.
And Aaron and Chris briefly called off the affair for several weeks, but were later
sneaking off again.
Yeah.
Well, you know that she's probably flipping out there for a while because she's probably never seen nothing like this, you know.
Yeah.
Her young and anybody hitting her face, but I'll go kill you.
Yeah. I mean, Aaron, I mean, she's young and got this older guy paying some attention to her. And
yeah.
Her, yeah, I mean, she's struck by him, no doubt.
Oh, yeah. Sneaking off and getting the thrill.
Yep. But in the meantime, Chris's time in the Marines was due to end on July the 4th of 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And after this, him, Nicole, and their little girl, Liberty, they were scheduled to return to their home in Alaska.
Alaska.
Mm-hmm. Now, on June the 22nd, Aaron learned that she was pregnant again, dude.
Mm.
And this time, she didn't announce it on social media.
No.
She kept it to herself.
Right.
And the following week, on June the 28th, Chris planned a trip to Joshua Tree National Park with Connor.
Right.
This was the other neighbor.
Yeah.
To hunt coyotes. And they took along their 22 Winchester rifles.
Right.
And he also had a propane tank he hoped to explode.
Yep.
Using some gasoline and his rifle.
He didn't want to go blow up an old mine shaft.
Yeah, that was his thing. Because, like we said, he loved destruction.
Right.
He loved to blow up stuff, shoot guns, and just be, I don't know what you call it.
So I seen a couple places saying they didn't know about this deal because they were saying that coyotes were more nocturnal. So would you be able to kill them in the daytime? And can you even hunt in a national park?
I don't know.
Or was this maybe this is out? So maybe they're somewhere near Joshua Tree.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows?
Right.
But that's where they were. They were out near there.
Yeah.
But Connor, he had to cancel because he had friends staying over, so Chris went alone.
Yeah. Yeah, he said he still had people laying on his couches that were hungover from the night before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he couldn't go.
But by coincidence, Aaron was also driving to Joshua Tree that day, supposedly to scout out some places to take her mother when she was coming out to California for an upcoming visit.
Yeah, and the reason she didn't put it on Facebook, she was wanting to surprise her mother and let her know that she was pregnant when she got there.
Yeah.
So she had told John that she was going to go out to the desert or going out to Joshua Tree to find some places to take her mom when she got there. So it would be some cool places to go visit.
Yeah, I get that.
She had never been there.
Mm-hmm. But now, around 7:30 that morning, Aaron got up and she kissed John goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And she told him she loved him and she left.
Right. And it was his day off, and so he's just going to lay around and play some video games and some computer games,
mm-hmm.
and then just hang out at home while she went to go look for a place to take her mom.
Yep. And she left and did not return that night.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, like she had been gone for several hours, and he was starting to get worried. And he started calling her, and he couldn't get a hold of her. And then he knew that the signal out in the desert was pretty sketchy, so... You know, you're kind of getting worried, but you kind of know it. There might be something, nothing to it, but then again, it might be something.
Yeah.
So I think he ended up calling her, texting her like over 50 times and leaving her messages and never got anything back.
Never got nothing back from her.
So he's pretty, he's flipping out here at home, but he don't ever call the cops or anything.
Mm-mm.
But later he would say that the reason he did the next morning when he got up and she still hadn't returned. But, you know, he said that he waited and called them then, and they thought that was pretty sketchy, too. But he was like, well, I thought you had to wait 24 hours when somebody was missing before you could report it, before you could do anything.
And he also called Aaron's mom and told her.
Yes.
And that's when she decided to come on out.
Right. And I think a lot of people think that 24-hour deal is from watching TV, that's the way it works.
Mm-hmm. But no, you don't have to.
No. Give him a call, let him know. I mean, hell, you never know. If she was going to the desert, if she... run out of water or got lost, because one of the things they said is she's not very good with directions and being in directional situations, she would make it have got lost in the desert
or disoriented or something, and
right, or overheated and run out of water or attacked by one of those nighttime coyotes or whatever.
Yeah, but
anyway, he didn't report it till next day.
Yeah, but before Aaron's mom could even get on a plane, John had phoned her back and he broke the news that Aaron and Chris had been having an affair.
Mm.
And Aaron's mom, she was making her plans to get out to California. And this was when Aaron's car was found. And it was abandoned. And that's when her mom pretty much feared the worst.
Right.
And after arriving in California, days had passed without further notice. And the police kept asking if she may have disappeared on purpose.
Right. I think at one time, even before they found the car, that they thought maybe she just got pissed off and was driving back to Tennessee, you know, when they couldn't get a hold of her. And then, but I think they kind of said, well, that was just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
But then they found the car, so they knew that was not the case.
Yeah, but the car wasn't where it should have been. It was out away from Joshua Tree National Park entrance.
Right. They found the car, but that's all they found so far.
No, Aaron. And they found some footprints and some other tire tracks,
too.
Tire
tracks, correct. Yep.
But now, Aaron's cupboards and everything in her house were stocked with food, and she'd been planning to cook while her mom had been out to have some home-cooked meals.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a pretty good sign that Aaron, I guess, was wanting to hang around.
Yeah, she wasn't running off.
No.
Right. Well, I think once they find her car, they realize that she wasn't just, you know, walking.
Yeah. And they were asking everybody where she could be.
Right.
They were asking the neighbors. And they had questioned Chris. And he said he had seen her around. And he just, you know, when she had passed by, he'd say, hey. And,
right.
Or bye or something. And how you doing? That'd be it.
Yeah, he kind of blew it off that he really knew her that much at all.
Mm-hmm.
Which was kind of silly.
Yeah.
Because everybody already knew, you know. And I think Chris and John were both the suspects, you know, pretty right off the bat. But I think John was pretty much ruled out quickly because they run his phone pings and stuff, and he was basically there all day.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, he could have left his phone there and left. But.
And John took a polygraph test and passed it. So he was immediately ruled out as a suspect.
Everything looked like he was truthful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Chris, on the other hand, is a little bit different.
Yeah.
He had motive, means, and opportunity because, I mean, he even said himself, you know, he had been out there in the desert as well. So it's kind of odd.
Mm-hmm.
And he was even caught, you know, lying about the affair to the police. You know, like you said, he was just telling them, you know, like he really didn't know her and this kind of stuff. But he definitely did.
Yeah. It wasn't long after Aaron went missing, Chris and his wife, Nicole, and their little girl, Liberty, they moved back to Alaska.
Hmm.
And I'm pretty sure they had horses.
Yeah, they did.
And they took them back with them.
They worked at there was a horse ranch near there, and they volunteered there and then had adopted, I think, a couple of horses. And even Aaron had went there with them as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was like a rescue place for horses.
Yeah, exactly. So they were all there. So, yeah, when they left, you know, they drove back to Alaska, so they had to take their horses.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So they were searching Joshua Tree National Park for Aaron. It even been described that they were looking for a needle in a haystack in a haystack.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. I mean, thousands and thousands of square miles.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it had so many, like six different law enforcement agencies and hundreds of volunteers out there searching for her.
Mm-hmm.
And they searched for weeks. And then there were so many mines and stuff out here, they just didn't really know where they were looking or where to start, really.
Yeah.
And I think they've been between 1,200 and 2,000 square miles are out here searching.
And after several weeks of searching, they found nothing.
Right.
And the authorities made the difficult decision that on Saturday, August the 16th, the search would end.
Right. But luckily, they found a guy who had been with Chris one other time. It was like the weekend before she went missing. He had been back out there and said he was out scouting some places to go hunting and blow up some mines. And this guy had been taking some pictures and stuff. So they found him, or he came forward and showed them the pictures.
Now, they'd found a guy who lived out there, and all he did was explore. And his name was Doug Billings, but he had a nickname, Cave Doug.
Right.
Which is really cool.
Yeah, so he looked at the pictures, and he thought he kind of could help them really narrow it down to figure out where these pictures were taken, and that would take their search that way.
And he saw the pictures, and he knew exactly where it was.
Yeah.
And they took him out there.
Right. He knew it was just a select number of mine shafts that could be, went with those photos. And on the last day, you know, starting to get dark, like you said, they decided they would quit on that Saturday. The last day, they finally went to the last mine.
Yeah. And they noticed a strong cadaver smell.
With gasoline.
Yeah, gasoline smell coming from one of the mines.
Right.
Kind of the decomp smell.
Yeah.
And they lowered a bucket down that with a light on it and a GoPro
cam.
Yeah, they lowered it down into this mine, straight down in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Mine. And it went down, I think, about 140 feet.
Yep.
And that's when they saw a propane tank, a Sprite bottle, and Aaron's body.
Yep. I think it was like a homemade torch or something in there.
Yeah. Sure was.
Yep, and that's when they found her, and then they got the mine guys ready and lowered them down in there to go retrieve her body.
Yep, and they called out the fire department, because the local fire department there, they had been used to, I guess, doing maneuvers in tight places and different things, so they called them out there, and they had a guy that went down with a oxygen tank, and he descended down in the mine.
Right.
And he went down and confirmed that it was a body down there.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came up, and they sent another guy down with I think it was two body bags. And he was able to put Aaron's body inside those bags.
Yeah, pretty bad decomposed, though.
Yeah, and brought up the other stuff, the Sprite bottle and the propane tank and all those stuff he found down there.
Yeah, and all that stuff was weird, but what the plan was when she was thrown into the... when they brought her back up, they realized that she had been killed. She was choked to death with a homemade garrote.
Yeah, it looked like a two steel rebar, pieces of rebar with some rope.
Right. It's kind of like when you see somebody on TV and they take a piano wire and wrap it around somebody's neck. Well, they'd be like that, but it could be a rope or a piano wire or whatever with two handles on it. So you put it around somebody's head and you just pull around her neck and choke them to death. So that was still wrapped around her neck and even twisted up into some of her hair and stuff. But anyway, they pulled her up, and then what the plan was, the propane tank was thrown in there, and apparently they were going to, I don't know if the gas was poured in or it was just but I'm assuming the way they were going to do it was just crack the propane tank open, throw it down in there, and then throw the torch in there and hoping of exploding it to blow up the dirt to cave in on top of the body.
Yeah.
And it was lucky that the body was where it was because it had fallen on a ledge. And actually, the mine was 250 feet deep.
Total.
But actually, it got caught on a ledge about 140 feet down.
Mm-hmm.
So they may have not ever found it if it went to the bottom.
Probably not.
Right.
So they was able to get Aaron's body out.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, the authorities, they go up to Anchorage, Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And they pick up Christopher Lee.
Yep.
And they bring him back to San Bernardino, California.
Yeah, he was arrested for first-degree murder with the special circumstances of lying in wait.
Yeah.
Which basically means he set a trap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he knew that he was going to be expedited, so he didn't even fight it because he knew he didn't have no chance. So he went with him.
Well, during his interrogation, man, he would try to lie his way out of everything they asked him.
Oh, yeah. And how they figured out it was him, they knew that when they found her car, that the tire tracks up beside of it was his Jeep tracks.
Yeah.
And then you could tell that she just got out of her car by the footprints and got into his car.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the car was where it was, because he said he had told her that they were going on a special trip that day. And we found out all this because her best friend, she had been texting back in Tennessee.
Her name was Jessie.
The whole time.
Yeah.
And telling her everything that was going on.
Told her everything.
So when she found out she was missing, she contacted authorities and go, I got it all right here.
Mm-hmm.
So she knew about the whole affair. She knew about what was going on. She knew how Aaron felt about him and how when she got pregnant, she knew it was Chris's, and they had already been talking about baby names and how each of them, they was going to both leave their spouses and be together, and they were going to move to Alaska and happily ever after and all this. Well, meanwhile, Chris was planning some devious shit.
Yeah.
He had told her that we were going to go out on a special day. It was going to be a whole day for ourselves. Got a big surprise for you. And she didn't know what it was. She thought maybe he was even going to propose marriage or something like that. You know, she was just excited and told her friend that she didn't know what it was going to be, but it just couldn't get here soon enough. So the day coming, so what happened is
I think it was a two-hour ride out there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they got together and, like, you knew it was going to be they could talk a good bit before they got there and stuff. And the whole time he's planning on killing her when they get to the desert, even though he's telling her we're going on this great trip and we have the whole day to ourselves.
Man, he's sick.
Yeah. So the whole time she's excited, thinks she's fixing to get a ring or get proposed or tell her that I want you to leave your husband or I'm leaving my wife. I mean, she didn't know what was going on. And then next thing you know, he's killed her.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So anyway, that's why they went to go pick him up in it. Yeah. Because they knew it was him.
Yeah.
From all the text messages and all the evidence that they're finding.
But he kept trying to lie to get out of it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about some more lies, too. Because at his trial, which began in October of 2016,
right,
the prosecution easily establishes Chris' affinity for violence, man, that he loved blowing up stuff, shooting guns, as well as his motive and opportunity for Aaron's murder.
Right.
And the defense presented just one witness.
Yeah.
And it was Chris.
Dumbass.
And he took the stand in his own defense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even though that they knew that his DNA was on the propane tank, his DNA was on the makeshift torch because it was, he used a T-shirt of his.
Yeah.
And it had his DNA in the collar.
And on the Sprite bottle.
Had both of them's DNA and fingerprints on the Sprite bottle.
Yeah.
So they knew, you know, he had already been there. And then, actually, the guy that had the photos, he had GPS coordinates was, on each photo. So they knew exactly where he had been. And then, so he knew he had been in that exact spot before.
Mm-hmm.
So they've had him nailed pretty good, but he's still going to take the stand and try to get out of this.
Now, while on the stand, Chris confessed to killing Aaron Corwin, confirming all the evidence against him.
Mm-hmm.
But then he said, while speaking with Erin in the desert about her desire to be Liberty's stepmom, he remembered something.
Yeah, something triggered.
Yeah. He said one night after his wife had given Liberty a bath, Chris told the court that Nicole found her daughter's crotch to be red and irritated.
Hmm.
And this is when Nicole accused Erin of some kind of, or somehow causing this suspicious rash.
Yeah, they thought she had been molested.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Chris. Well,
that was the claim here in court. Anyway.
Yes, that's what he was saying on the stand.
Right.
And Chris started to think that Erin seemed too emotionally attached to Liberty. And then that's when he claimed the gear turned in his head.
Mm-hmm.
And while they were out there in the desert, that's when he asked Erin if, he asked her, did you touch Liberty?
Did you molest my daughter?
Yes.
She said yes.
But that was the last thing he ever heard her say.
Which all this is lies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying while he's on the stand.
Right, yeah. He's saying she said yes, but she didn't say it.
Yeah, because she's not there to defend herself.
And that's when he said he lost control and grabbed a garrote and squeezed the life out of Erin.
So that's just,
you know, because you just happen to carry that in your
everybody
pocket.
Everybody carries a garrote around.
Don't you got one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got in my back pocket.
I got two.
But yeah, he squeezed the life out of Erin.
Right.
But now the story was an attempt to consider a charge for involuntary manslaughter.
Yeah. Well, you know, if he got that, he could be out in as little as 3 years or something, mm-hmm. you know. So he's basically lying, saying his daughter's being molested, using his daughter as a damn ploy.
And him up there on the stand saying this, and Erin's parents are there in the courtroom saying that about her.
Yeah.
God almighty, man.
Trash.
The balls of this guy.
Trash.
But the jurors didn't believe him at all.
Oh, no.
Mm-mm. He even in court demonstrated how he choked her out with a garrote with a mannequin dummy.
And it took how long?
5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Yeah. And they counted, the lawyer or the prosecution counted it down.
Shit.
Yeah. There's a video of this online on YouTube.
Now, she also had skull fractures and stuff. So I wonder did he hit her from behind, you think?
And then, knock her
and
out.
And then choke her out, yeah, or something. And then throw her down the damn mine shaft.
Yeah.
140 feet, which is equivalent to 14 stories.
Yeah.
If he was on a 14-story hotel, we all been there. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's how far it was down that hole.
Yeah.
If you think about it. Damn.
He's a monster, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the jurors didn't believe him, dude.
No.
And they found him guilty of first-degree murder.
With special circumstance.
Yeah.
Right. Which is the kicker on this.
Yeah. Now, get this. It took them just 15 minutes to reach that verdict, dude.
Yeah, I'd heard that it was near the end of the day, so they decided to, go ahead and close up for the day and then come back the next day and deliberate. And then when they went in, they knew it didn't take them but about 15 minutes to get to it. But they actually stayed back for 2 hours or so, because they all actually wanted to have one more lunch together before they decided to call it quits. So it only took them 15 minutes to reach the verdict, but they went ahead and get a lunch out of it.
I don't blame them. Yeah.
Trash.
Yeah.
So anyway, he was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole and now resides in the Richard J. Donovan Correctional Facility in San Diego.
Yep.
Now, a lot of people was wondering why they wouldn't try to get the death penalty for him. But Erin's family, they really didn't want him to get the death penalty, because then they would have to go to every
appeal
that he had, and there would be there would be many of them.
Yeah, yes. And just be reliving this over and over.
Yeah, so they were pretty happy to get what they got.
Yeah.
I just can't believe the balls of this guy to try to run her reputation in the ground as far as sexually assaulting a child. You know, and even after this supposedly happened, they still used it for a babysitter all the time, and they were still having sex together.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's lying.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, he's that guy. Every time he says something, he's got another lie for it.
Now, while Chris was on the stand, he presented an apology to the family, but he never did look at Erin's mom. He wouldn't look at her in the face or the eyes or anything.
I'm sure they wanted that.
Yeah. Now, Erin's family has worked to remember the good times with her, and instead of focusing their anger on it, the killer.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that she's decided to refuse to be bitter and angry. And
yeah, he's already taken enough from me. Yeah. You know, and if I'm bitter and angry, he's taking my mind, my soul, and my heart, and I'm not giving him that.
Yeah.
Man.
So he's serving his life in prison without parole.
Yeah, because he's trash.
Yeah. So I don't know anything about what happened to his Chris's wife,
well,
Nicole.
They tried to, they did look at getting her for accessory after the fact because they thought she was in on it because, you know, when she was missing, when she first went missing, Aisling was talking to Nicole about it, and she said, I don't give a damn what happens to that little bitch. So I think she was kind of in on this, and she might even pushed him to do this.
Could have.
But they tried to, they looked at maybe getting her for accessory or accessory after the fact, but they just didn't have enough evidence to make it fix. So right now, I don't think anything's happened to her.
Mm-mm.
So I guess she's still in Alaska with Liberty.
Could be. Could very well be.
That little girl's going to grow up hearing this stuff and knowing how her parents threw her under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
As far as being sexually assaulted and using her to try to pry daddy out of jail.
Poor girl, 19 years old, mm-hmm. life cut short.
Yep.
She was just a kid, man.
Just a kid, man.
But they didn't, her body was so decomposed, they couldn't tell if she was pregnant or anything like that. Couldn't tell.
Right.
Or get any kind of DNA from anything like that to determine who the father was.
Or to be able to charge her for double murder.
This is true.
You know, even though she had been somewhere, I think, to have, you know, to know she was pregnant for sure, she'd been to some doctor, but so I guess there's a record somewhere, but I guess you couldn't prove it. Well, you don't know if she miscarried yesterday, you know, so
mm-hmm.
it'd been hard to prove, but anyway, he's in jail for life. So.
Yeah, he's not getting out.
No.
Nope. But anyway, that is the murder of Aaron Corwin, dude.
Mm, sad tale.
It is. All right, dude, we are going to get out of here, bud.
Let's roll, bro.
We want everyone to be safe. Be careful and always be aware of your surroundings.
Because the next episode could be about you.
This is the Crack House Chronicles.